Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi and welcome to Why Did You Make Me Watch That? With me, Holly Frew.
And me, Ronan Warfield.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Holly. I'm good. How are you?
Grand.
Yeah, and this windy sunny afternoon.
Well, Sunday morning. Know it's I know you can really actually it's really this is the weather corner, really
our patented the segment
sponsored by the weather.
Yeah, sponsored by Meta.
We wish sponsored by Meta. Oh,
we wish sponsored by anyone.
Yeah, it's gone cold now. It's gone full on autumn, bright days, but like chilly.
Sure, it's not a bad thing. I was kind of getting sick of the hot, sticky weather. So I'm happy to see the back of it.
Yeah, I'm the same. I actually was like getting really sort of, it's just the thing of like, oh, it's blazing heat. And then like 6 o'clock hits and it's absolutely freezing.
It's Baltic. No good. Yeah. No good.
No good. But then again, it gives us loads of time to watch lots of cool things on the telly.
The evenings are getting shorter.
What is the evening doing?
Days are getting shorter.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Ronan.
So, don't be a weather girl.
So, any news this week?
Nary a bit, as usual.
Just working away.
I was just working away and watched the film he gave me, which was sadly the highlight of my week.
Cool.
I live a life of extreme and excitement, of course.
Yeah. I know. Sure, I'm the same. It was I'm proper back now into actual college. So I'm doing that like Tuesdays and Wednesday evenings now. So
very good, very good.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. I've got like two group assignments already. So that's terrific. And by terrific, I mean...
terrible. Awful.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You're trying to like, you know, join forces with people you've never met. You don't have any... Like, you're literally looking at a blank, a lot of cameras off. Do you know what I mean? Cameras off situation.
Yeah. Just the name on a screen in a box. Yeah.
Well, we've got one group one at the moment, and then like we have another group one later on. So actually it's only one, but there's going to be two in the course, if you know what I mean. So
exactly.
But yeah, it'll be fun. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
I'll be giving you regular updates.
It probably won't be, but yeah. Let's see how it goes. Exactly.
Yeah. I'll give you regular updates of how the group project is going. But yeah, sure, look, we might as well shoot off. You are first, I think. I went first last week, so
this is true. So the films you gave me were do you have my choice in front of you there? Because I only had the one I watched.
So it was Who Be Halloween on Netflix or Vampires versus the Bronx, also on Netflix, I think, unless it like disappeared, but I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix.
No, it's actually a Netflix original. I did watch Vampires versus the Bronx. This was completely unknown to me now. I had no idea what it was or who was in it or where it came from. But yeah, it's a Netflix original. Well, not made by Netflix. It was made and then bought by Netflix in lieu of a cinema release because of COVID and everything. It was only made last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I watched it last year. So actually... I wasn't 100% sure, like, you know, when it actually hit, but it just kind of slipped under the radar into my Netflix.
Very much so, yeah. It was very much not given any sort of fanfare whatsoever. So it's not the most complicated of plots, so we'll run through it real quick. So Vampires versus the Bronx, as it more or less alludes to, is a trio of kids. Basically come across a nest of vampires in the Bronx. They live in the Bronx. So we've got the three kids, basically. We've got Miguel, Bobby, and Luis. And they are three main characters. Miguel is kind of like he's kind of like the little mainstay of the neighborhood. Basically, he's when we meet him, he's organizing a fundraiser to save the local sort of corner shop, which is kind of like the mainstay of the whole area. So he's organized a fundraiser to save that. In the midst of that, we find out that there's a company called Murnau, a property development company called Murnau, that are buying up all the land in the Bronx and with intentions to turn it into some, you know, very trendy, you know,
high rise sort of
high rise, you know, lots of, you know, as they say in the film, white people shops and stuff. So that's a direct quote, dumb quote. So yeah, he's basically seeing all this happen, sees the area kind of changing for the worse, and they call him Little Mayor or Little Mayor, because he's basically just, you know, he's kind of like a future politician, but with good intentions, essentially, of keeping the area and keeping his charm and the whole lot. And he's only 14. So he's doing all this with the help of his two friends, Bobby and Luis. Bobby is kind of like the sort of the gray child of the, we won't call him the black sheep, is sort of the gray sheep of the trio, because he sort of has flirtations with becoming members of the local drug gang, which his two friends are kind of trying to steer him away from. And then there's Luis, who he's just back from being on holidays, I think, at the start. He's basically just the well-meaning nerd of the tree, essentially. So yeah, and that's pretty much, that's our main tree. There's other characters based around those three, but that's essentially it.
Yeah.
So at the start, we find a sort of almost out of place looking blonde woman going to get her nails done at a salon. And through that, we find out that the salon has been sold to this company, Murnau. And that the woman who was getting her nails done is literally the woman's, the nail salon's last customer. The nail technician is played in a very small cameo by Zoe Saldana.
I knew there was a few kind of heads in this.
Yeah, just kind of like blinking and missing cameos and stuff. But so more or less straight after she does those woman's nails, she is attacked and killed by a vampire. Now, the company Murnau is actually a reference to F.W. Murnau, who directed the first vampire film, Nosferatu, in 1922.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the reference there. So this basically takes the premise, like everyone always anecdotally says, oh my God, property developers are like vampires in society. This basically says property developers are vampires.
Are actually.
Actually vampires. So yeah, the basic premise is that these property developers are represented by this one guy called, what's his name? Frank. Who is a human, but essentially he is their human front. Essentially, behind the scenes, they're basically all vampires, and they're all the traditional type of vampires. They sleep during the day, they come in and come in at night, they hate wooden stakes, garlic, the lot, crucifixes, all that sort of stuff. So there's no real switch on the whole traditional vampire thing. So yeah, once the three kids get wind of this plot, and of course nobody believes them, but they basically set out to, you know, take on the vampires, essentially. And that's pretty much the whole setup. It's very much done in the vein of like a modern day Goonies set in the hood, I think is the best way to describe it.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, got Goonies vibes.
It's not like violent or really that scary.
No.
You know, it's a 12 rated film, so it's very much a, like I said, a Goonies in the hood sort of thing. Like, so yeah, that was it. Like, I mean, aside from a couple of clever stuff, it's not very good. It's not like, I mean, it had been a bit of a tighter script, maybe, and a bit funnier, it could have been very good. Because the premise I find was quite good. Excuse me. I found the premise to be quite good, but at the end it gets very, very cheesy. A little too cheesy for the storyline, even though the storyline's ridiculous.
100% remember the ending, but I think I'll probably go back and watch it during this October festive period.
Indeed. But no, it's a nice way to kill 2 hours in the afternoon, but it's not great.
Well, it's not. You see, it kind of sits on the fence, probably a little bit too much to its detriment. So like, it could either go full kind of comedy, or it could go like sort of Shaun of the Dead style, or it could have gone like probably a little bit scarier.
I think the tightrope that it has to walk is that because it has to keep the rating down,
which yeah,
was mandated to be, it can't be any blood. So there's no blood, no gore, very few actual scares. And that kind of plays against it, because without that kind of, without that danger element, you're not going to get very many laughs, you know, because that's the thing about Shaun of the Dead, is that you laugh
because it's
at
so
the funny bits, because
ridiculous,
because they're in such an extreme scenario, like, you know, but an extremely dangerous scenario, because you believe that they are in danger, whereas in this you don't, you know, buy into that at all, of course. So sorry, my throat's all dry here.
But yeah, I thought it was actually, yeah, I mean, that's like, that's an interesting take on it. I think I enjoyed watching this. I remember watching it, like, it was one of those kind of like Friday evening releases, and I sat down and watched it, and I was like, oh, that was like a decent Halloween movie.
Yeah, it's certainly not the worst film I've ever seen. I mean, it's unfair to compare it to Shaun of the Dead, because that is
that's like film, a cult, like, you know? Classic.
And this is only very middle of the road sort of thing, like, you know. But the reason I say that is because it could have been as good as Shaun of the Dead had they sort of maybe spent a little more time in script, maybe, you know, made it a tiny bit grittier.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I hate that you made me watch this, I guess.
Okay, sorry.
But you're not sorry. You're not sorry at all.
No, I'm not. I'm not at all. It's content, okay? It's all content.
Content. It's all content. But no, look, not the worst film in the world. Certainly not the best, but, you know.
It's like an easy Halloween-y watch. What it is as well is that it's a Halloween-y film if you're like not really that into horror.
Yeah, I guess if you wanted to sit down with like your teenagers and watch a horror film or a Halloween film, it's not something that you're going to be grossed out by or horrified by. It's just something that you're going to be mildly entertained by.
Yeah, exactly. And so sometimes, look, there's a need for that.
Sometimes there is, you know, there's a need in that market. So it doesn't have to be all blood and guts. And,
yes.
You know, that's okay, Chip.
Exactly. Real. Well, cool. So what films then did you give me? You gave me 28 Days Later or Midnight Mass. Mm. And bum, 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 I went for Midnight Mass.
I knew you would.
On Netflix. Binged through the whole lot over, I think, two or three days.
Wow, fair play.
Well, it's 8 episodes. So it's 7 or 8. Maybe it's 7.
You need to get out more.
Sorry, it's seven episodes.
Seven episodes, sorry.
So that's fine. I don't need to get out. I can just get out the adequate amount.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Because it's 7. If it was 8 now, I probably need to get out more. But yes, so Midnight Mass is, I'm sure, unless you're under a rock or you don't have a Netflix, it's the new Mike Flanagan series. So Mike Flanagan is of the Haunting of Hill House and the sequel to that, The Haunting of Blythe Manor.
Blythe Manor, yeah. He also directed the Doctor Sleep film.
He did do Doctor Sleep, which we've talked about.
Covered, yeah.
On the podcast. And also there's an upcoming series called The Midnight Club. So it's going on the midnight theme as opposed to like the haunting. But yeah, so I'll get into it. Basically, because Mike Flanagan loves a good ensemble, there's very like a lot of the same actors are in all of his productions. He does love a good ensemble cast. So there's always kind of like about 6 integral characters to all of his things. Just the last 3 series. So essentially we have sort of the prodigal son character, Riley Flynn, who's played by Zach Guilford. So I know him from Good Girls, but he's like Friday Night Lights, and he's in a good few other things. So he returns. The whole series is set on an island. It's kind of like a fishing industry island. So there's a lot of fishermen and wives. And then, so he comes back to the island. Also, simultaneously, another character, Erin Green, comes back to the island around the same time. She's a teacher, but she was actually like the former flame of Riley. Riley went away, though, because he was in jail. He committed a drunk driving accident, which resulted in a girl getting killed. And this girl is also something that's synonymous with Mike Flanagan's work, is that he does these kind of jolting kind of visions that people have. So Riley Flynn is haunted by this girl who appears to him. Like, as soon as he goes to sleep, it's this boom, and you see this figure of the girl with all the glass in her face and everything. It's like, it's a really striking image. But so this is kind of like, so he's haunted by this girl all the time during this series. So yeah, so it's him, he's returning, and then obviously assimilating back into like the island life. It's very close knit, so he's kind of got his struggles with that. So Erin Green then is his former flame. So she's pregnant, and she's a single mother, and she's the teacher. So she's kind of has her place in the island as well. Mike Flanagan has like all of the kind of essential personnel that's required on an island. So he has prodigal son, the prego teacher, the town drunk, the doctor, the sheriff, the town busybody, who's played, who's called Bev, who's actually brilliant. She's a great character. And then we have the priest. So the priest is Father Pruitt. The storyline is that Father Pruitt went away. And then in episode one, we see that Father Paul Hill arrives on the island and basically says the story that Father Pruitt has, like, so Father Pruitt was actually meant to be going to the Holy Land on a sabbatical kind of holiday sort of thing. And Father Paul Hill, who's this like young, vivacious, interesting, charismatic priest, he arrives and he basically says, oh no, Father Pruitt actually had a bit of an accident. He's fine. He's just recovering on the mainland. So that's all you hear. You don't really hear of actually what, like, you don't know where exactly in the States it is. It's just the mainland and they're on the island. And that's like, so geographically, that's where we're at. But yeah, so Pruitt is gone. And basically this is the new priest in town. So yeah, it's just the first episode is just obviously introducing all these characters. And but then we kind of, something weird happens. There's a storm brewing, obviously. So it's great, creating lots of wonderful suspense. And a really weird scene happens at the end of the first episode where a load of cats end up. We see this kind of unknown entity type thing grab a cat. And then the last scene of the first episode is basically a load of dead cats on the seashore lined up. So it's really weird. Like, it's really weird and eerie. Like, it's a very kind of unusual scene. Then an episode.
Awesome if you hate cats.
It's what?
It's awesome if you hate cats.
Like, it's awesome if you hate cats. But still, even if you do hate cats, you know, it's not great.
It's still a bit much.
Yeah. So then the town busybody Bev, she in episode two, then she goes putting poison down around everywhere. The sheriff, the town drunk, his dog gets killed. The sheriff, he's kind of like, you know, has like his suspicions about Bev then, because it's like, oh, she's like an absolute psycho. And then the new priest sets up an AA meeting, just literally with him and Riley, who's the guy who was in jail. So kind of like linking those two characters together. So also then towards the end of the second episode, which isn't it's not a deal breaker, but it's not a spoiler, because it's literally in the Netflix little kind of little clip you can see before you click on to the series.
Trailer.
But yeah. So then at Mass, he basically tells this character who's in a wheelchair, and he tells her to stand, and she stands up. So everyone now thinks that this priest is something special, like there's something very different, and he's like doing these miracle, like he's literally performing miracles on the island, like this is amazing. But then obviously we know it's not as it seems, and why does he seem to have this power, and why are there dead cats showing up, and like there's just lots of weirdness going around. So that's right. Kind of like literally kind of the rundown of the first two episodes, but obviously there's like so much more. But yeah, it's great. And Mike Flanagan does this thing too, where he does the long shots. So as in the like long recording, where he'll have literally sort of a single camera and go around and have a long continuous shot. Sorry, that's what I meant. So like, right. And he does that in this as well, especially at the start of the second episode. So it's really interesting, and kind of from a creative point of view. But yeah, I really liked this. It's not the same as The Haunting or The Blythe Manor. It's because they're primarily, they deal with like ghosts essentially and spirits. This is a different type of scare. It's more of a creepy kind of weird and shocking, but it's not like, I found Hill House and Blythe Manor, more Hill House was kind of like actually physically difficult to watch because I found it so scary. But right. Some scenes I felt like, oh my God. Whereas there was none of that in this. It's very tame in comparison for the scare factor. But in terms of the storyline, I mean, it's a lot of like Catholic, you know, doctrine and like who we are as people, and like there's lots of big themes in there too. They're all really good actors. It's really well written, and I really liked it. It actually did really well on online and ratings as well. So I'd say like I think a lot of people are into this. What was the other thing I was going to say about Mike Flanagan? I can't remember. Might come up. But did you watch? So have you watched the other series from him?
Which one?
Have you watched The Haunting and Blythe Manor?
I didn't watch Blythe Manor. Did watch The Haunting of Hill House, sorry, which I did thoroughly enjoy as well.
As
you said, go on, sorry.
I only found out today, actually, he was born in Salem, Massachusetts.
No way.
And that's why he has a grow for kind of horror and witchcraft and the Salem trials and all of that kind of stuff. And that's, I think, where
he's kind of born to be a director, literally, or born to be a horror director.
Yeah, because I never realized that.
That's mad.
Yeah.
But that's good. Good. Glad you
like
it.
Definitely, like, I know I couldn't get too much into it there, but like it really does evolve though. It's not, it's just because it's not the same, like it's very, it gets very intense. And just because it's not like the same kind of scare as like Haunting a Hill House, it's still kind of entertaining and it's gripping enough to kind of keep you entertained. Do you know that sort of way?
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder, I'm interested to see now what the midnight hour is, or whatever it's called for the next one. Midnight Club, sorry. So yeah, that's due out 2022. So it's not out till next year. But he seems to be having a role. So basically the Haunting Hill House was made and then Netflix signed up for the Blythe Manor. And then now they're just in a continuous Netflix contract where
anything he does is
going on Netflix.
They buy it up straight away. Yeah.
So it's great. Yeah, like,
good for him.
Yeah.
Just noticed he's casting his wife in every one of them.
Yes. Yeah, she is in a lot, but she's unbelievable in this.
She's a great actress.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's doing it just because she's his wife. She's actually very good in it. Like.
Yeah. There's a part in this where that character, so she's pregnant, obviously, and then she's having issues with her pregnancy. And it's just so like trigger warning for that. But like she's, yeah, it's unbelievable. It's amazing. But yeah, so that was that film or series.
Series, yeah. Felt like a film. Because you watch it all in one go.
Well, like I think I did 3 episodes, 3, maybe 2 and 2. I think that's how I did it over 3 days. But like it warrants it because it sucks you in, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah. So what do you have for next week?
Right. Okay. So next week, have you seen, bringing up my list now. Have you seen Attack the Block?
Nope.
Awesome.
That's choice
number one.
Channel 4?
That's on the All4 app, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For free.
Is that a series or is that a movie?
No, it's a film. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's an All4 film, or it's a film for a film. So it's on
the
All4 app, but it's also on Netflix.
Perfect.
And then your second choice is... have you seen the 2004 remake of Dawn of the Dead?
No.
Oh, awesome. That's your second choice.
And that's on...
also on the Netflix.
Netflix, perfect. Yeah. Have you seen House at the End of the Street?
Is that Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah.
No, I haven't, no.
Okay. So that's one, and Hotel Transylvania 2.
No, I haven't seen that either.
Okay.
It's a kids' film, right?
Listen, it's an animation. I'm
just making sure it's the right.
That's all just right, okay, it is. Fine. It's an animation, right? Adults can watch it too and not be ashamed. True. There's no shame here if you want to watch.
I feel like we're coming in on the Halloween spectrum, or the Halloween thing at different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, I know.
Giving you like two hardcore films, and you're like, here's some nice flippy kids films, and you know, a Jennifer Lawrence, you know, slasher.
Yeah, so it's fine. But thanks for giving me some nightmares.
It's okay. Just watch them during the day; you'll be fine.
Yes, that's what I had to do with Midnight Mass.
That's the key. You watch them during the day, you can watch anything. It's fine.
Yeah.
If you're watching them at night alone, forget about it. You might as well kill yourself. You're dead, you know.
But actually, Haunting a Hill House, I did find would sort of make me a bit on edge if I was in the house by myself at nighttime.
That's because you're imagining your house to be Hill House, you know, and that every other corner has a ghost behind it. Like,
Yeah. Terrifying.
Which is good. Yes, it is.
Cool. So those two, House at the End of the Street and Hotel Transylvania 2, are both on Netflix as well.
Cool. Thank you.
Nice one.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So you're off to your boozy brunch now? I know you're saying you're going for a brunch.
Have some food with some friends.
Yeah. Yeah. I added the boozy because
yeah,
I know you.
But also you want to live vicariously through me, I think.
I do.
Yeah.
I have to go back to work now and you get to go out and have drinks and food. And I'm
but
like,
actually, yeah. I'm going to be driving, so I'm not going to be drinking.
Oh, no. You're driving.
Yeah, I know.
You idiot.
Like a sap. Like a sap.
Are you like, did you get stung into like giving lifts to people?
No. I just need to go somewhere after as well. I need to go to the shop after. So it's just one of those things where it's like, oh, just easier if I drive.
You're just being responsible. Fair play.
I know. Like a loser. Yeah. But cool. Well, sure. Like, there are two Halloween-y films, if you have, or series and film. So, like, you know, if you haven't seen them, have a watch and maybe let us know what you think.
And then you can tune in next week for week two of Halloween Roundup. We call it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are we going to do 4 weeks of this? Yeah.
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 Might as well.
Yeah. So yeah, it's an unfair game because I know for a fact that you haven't really watched any really hardcore horror films because you don't like them. But
you don't like them
recommend them to. I don't like them either, but I have watched them. Like that's
yeah, I know.
Yeah. So I get to recommend
Ronan.
And you're like, here's
the remake of Candyman is actually coming out, so there's that.
Means one of us has to watch it and then recommend it to the other. So just saying. It
could be.
I'm gonna go see James Bond this week also.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So
dun, dun. I don't know. That should have sounded like Batman, but like I meant but it sort of dun, does that. Dun.
That's
yeah.
There you go.
That's better.
But yeah, go and see Seamus Bond during the week. So it'll be fun. Did you get to the cinema at all since it's reopened?
No. Huh? Well, I did. I went to see that children's movie, Washed Away or something.
Oh, yeah. She mentioned that before, yeah.
But like I feel like I didn't really go to the cinema because I was like, that was just purely with the nephews. Yeah. So I definitely want to go see something soon. I'm going to be going to the cinema next weekend with the nephews again, so it'll be something, maybe the Addams Family or something, I don't know.
Candyman.
just be like walking in with them to Addams Family and then just like sweep them aside and bring them into another place. And they'd just be like, what the fuck is this?
What is this? Why is that man bleeding so badly?
Oh God, no, anyway. No. Close your eyes, children.
Toughen them up. It'll be fine.
Oh God. No, I would never do that.
I'm not sure your brother will agree, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. No, that won't be happening. I would never go to see that in the cinema. I think it's just too scary to see something.
Yeah, I think that's where I draw the line too. Like scary films in the cinema is kind of like where at home is fine, but
yeah.
Yes. In a cinema it's 10 times worse than not digging this, not feeling it.
Yeah. Know? I know. So, I remember I went with my friend Sarah to this it was actually an Irish horror film, The Canal, I think it was called. It was actually brilliant. But it was absolutely terrifying. And The Canal. Plus, I lived beside the canal at the time when I was watching it. Like, I lived
in had to walk on beside it.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh God. But it's a very good scare film. And Irish.
I've never heard that.
An Irish film. So it's like all good.
There's been a couple of decent Irish horror films lately, hasn't there? Like, there was that one, The Hole in the Ground or something, or The Hole or something. I don't know what it was. Remember where the woman's little kid falls in, and when he comes back out, he's like the devil or something, I think it was. I haven't seen it now, but it's supposed to be excellent. Like, there's been kind of a handful of decent horror coming out of Ireland. Like,
definitely. And the one there was kind of like a zombie one filmed like maybe about 4 years ago or 5 years ago with Elliot Page.
Yeah. Where do you find the cure? Is it or something?
Yeah. The Cure.
Yeah, that was supposed to be excellent. Again, I hadn't seen that one, but these are all stuff that's going to be coming up in the next few weeks, yeah, Holly.
Sorry, you haven't seen The Cured?
No.
Oh, I have. So.
Have you? Oh, there you go. Do you want to change one of your choices for this week? No.
And it's actually on Netflix as well.
We'll hold off next week, so.
Yeah, well, we have our choices for next week, but yeah, that's possibly coming down your way.
Okay. So that's okay.
Okay.
Just FYI. Fair enough.
Cool. Right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Talk to you next week.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.